RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Michael Riddell is an independent economist and former RBNZ economist. He spent 30 plus years doing economic analysis and policy advice in a range of institutions in New Zealand and overseas. Most of that time was at the Reserve Bank, where he ran a number of areas, including a spell as head of financial markets, responsible for monetary policy implementation, foreign reserves management, and the analysis of financial system risks. And he spent 25 years or so on the equivalent of the OCR advisory group to the governor, and many years on the bank's key internal financial regulation policy committee. In other words, he's qualified. Qualified to come on RCR and talk about what he thinks of the budget. Okay. Can you give it a score?
I guess it depends what you're looking for. From a sort of broad macroeconomic, managing the overall country's finances, 4 out of 10, perhaps. It's pretty disappointing, really. The National and ACT, particularly in last year's election, rightly highlighted the really huge increases in government spending that there's been over the last few years. Government spending as a share of GDP in this budget's just a little bit higher over the next couple of years than it was under Labor. They've done some cuts, but they've increased entitlements. They've made these tax cuts. The overall deficit, the amount that we're borrowing to pay for the groceries, hasn't changed at all from what was there last year. So they're making no inroads on getting us back to surplus. And the deficits are really quite large, so it's quite disappointing from an overall economic perspective.
Okay, tax cuts, quantify those.
Well, I think the average person's getting about $50 a fortnight if they're a full-time wage and salary earner. It's not nothing. From their perspective, it unwinds some of the what they call the fiscal drag, the effect of inflation over the last few years and pushing people into higher tax bands. The only problem with it is that if you cut taxes when you're in surplus, that's a sensible idea because the government's got money, it can hand back. If you cut taxes when you're in deficit, all you're doing is giving people money today, which you'll have to take back from them eventually down the track to close those deficits.
So they should have been truer to their word, do you think?
Well, I mean, in some respects, this was their word. National weren't promising anything more ambitious. They should have been promising something more ambitious. They got hooked on this idea a couple of years ago that they had to promise tax cuts. And as the economy deteriorated and interest rates rose, they didn't really adjust their plans. And while they fixated on the very real and very substantial increases in government spending, they never identified programs that they really wanted to cut. So what we've had in the last few months is the sort of nip and tuck exercises at numerous government departments, a few hundred people here and a few hundred people there. But what we haven't had is the government saying, this program we just don't want to do anymore. They've kept on school lunches, for example, that they used to oppose. They're still funding those. We've still got film subsidies, video game subsidies, KiwiSaver subsidies. Fees free has been shifted from the first year to the third year. Save some money, but it's still quite a significant outlay. Yeah. If you're not willing to cut programs, it's really hard to bring the deficit down sharply.
We'll get on to some more detail, but I don't recall there being a huge clamoring. I mean, everyone likes a tax cut, but for tax cuts, it seemed like they could have shimmied by that one, perhaps.
I think they could have 18 months ago. I mean, I think when they first promised tax cuts, it was back in early 2022 when the economy was still doing quite strongly. And
right.
I think they thought then there'd be money to burn by the time they took office. By the time they got to last year and just before the election, I think they felt that they were so sort of hooked on that promise that they couldn't really back away from it. And I think, I think you're right. There wasn't a mass clamour across the public, but there was a sort of a reasonable insistence on it from their own base.
Yeah.
A lot of people making the point that the tax brackets hadn't been adjusted for 10 years. And, it's a good point. They hadn't been. But government spending had increased hugely through that period. And if you want tax cuts, you've really got to cut government spending first. And they just didn't have the appetite for that.
So the deficit, I've got a figure here, $13.4 billion rising to that figure in 2025. And that's up from $9.7 billion last year. It's quite a climb.
It is. It's the larger deficit as a share of GDP this coming year than in any of Labor's years, except that first lockdown. And no one's going to argue with the spending on the lockdown at that time. So, you know, it's pure political choice. They've decided that there's more political brownie points, I guess, in having tax cuts and borrowing to pay for the groceries than in fiscal responsibility. And they've kicked out, when we get back to surplus, to 2027, 2028. That's been pushed out about 3 years in the last 2 years between the two governments.
Yeah, so we can't forget about that figure, perhaps.
It's vaporware.
Okay. A contraction in the economy. It's performing worse than expected.
Yeah, it is.
Before recovery begins, I mean, that sounds hopeful, but how long is that piece of string?
Well, indeed. The Treasury's forecasts, which are the ones that are published here, do have interest rates starting to fall over the next few quarters. The Reserve Bank put out numbers last week where interest rates don't start falling until well into next year. So that's our two premier agencies quite divided on that. I think the prospects of economic recovery, even beginning in the next year or so, are pretty slim.
Debt as a percentage of GDP expected to remain in the low 40s. Still a high for us, though. It was, 20 years ago, and it was hardly anything, wasn't it?
That's right. I mean, it depends on your measure. If you take the sort of broadest measure, it's only about 25% of GDP. But you're right. I mean, that was zero, or actually we had slight net assets in 2007.
Yeah. Not that long ago.
No, I know. You and I can both remember it. And you know, that was an age when Michael Cullen was the minister, you know, it was Labor, who were keen on spending, but they still had that surplus. They'd still taken us into net financial assets. And unfortunately, I think both sides of politics have sort of given up on what had been a really impressive fiscal performance in New Zealand over 20 years or so. Both governments had been committed to being in surplus. We'd run debt right down, and now it's creeping up, and the ageing population is going to catch up with us before too long in terms of both the pension obligations and health commitments. And, you know, the 2030s look quite tough unless there are some really hard decisions made.
I want to run through a few quickly. Inflation, it's peaked at a 30-year high. Will it start to ease faster than expected? Or is that another? Well, let's see.
I personally suspect that it will, but, you know, the consensus of economists is that it's coming down quite slowly. The big uncertainty this year is just, you know, how much does unemployment rise? If the unemployment rate rises sharply, as some people think it will, then I think we can expect to see inflation really falling away quite sharply and interest rates falling further than either the bank or the Treasury are expecting. But, you know, we've been surprised in the last 6 months by the fact that inflation hasn't come down faster.
Reallocating spending rather than increasing spending, that's going to be the mode, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's clearly large what's happened in this budget. You know, they've taken out some of those sort of so-called back office public service spends, and no doubt there was waste and bloat there, and put some of that into frontline services. And that's not a bad thing in its own right. It's just that they've overlaid it with this big outlay of tax cuts.
Do you think we'll see a Bill English type approach again, where everything is analysed? And that would be a sensible thing, maybe, to analyse all that expenditure, you know, really forensically and sort of laser beam focus, if that can be done. I don't know if that can be done. And kind of go back to that idea.
I think there will be. I mean, you know, clearly when there's money's you're awash with money, new programs get adopted. When times are tough, people ask harder questions. But still, the big question is going to be, to what extent are they willing to say, this is something we just don't want to do? You know, you can always squeeze the public service a bit more and you can get away with it for a few years. But until you say, we don't want to do these subsidies, we don't want to do this program, and we're going to cut it out completely, it's hard to make really durable inroads in the amount of government spending.
I'm jumping around a bit here, but I think this will be of interest to our listeners. Nationals pledged to give Pharmac an extra $70 million a year for cancer treatments was not fulfilled in this budget. That's due to operational challenges, which means that, what, there aren't the people, there aren't the facilities, even if we had the money?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't looked into that one.
No, that makes people grumpy.
It will. I mean, it was a pretty high-profile thing of theirs, and one that a lot of people can relate to. You know, it's that sense that when you're a relatively poor country, as we are these days, cancer drugs tend to be the sort of thing that is pushed down the priority list.
And there's consideration, and we're looking ahead now, and I'm just going from a list of bullet points I have here. National considering ACT's proposal for a flatter tax system. How would that work? Just quickly?
I mean, in principle, you have a slightly higher rate for people at the bottom end, and you pull down that, particularly that 39% rate. You know, there are some countries in Eastern Europe that have gone to a totally flat tax system, like just 19%, 20%.
Is that what Roger Douglas was proposing all those years ago?
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, you can do it. What you tend to have to do if you do is you need to supplement it with income support for people at the bottom, because people at the bottom live pretty much paycheck to paycheck. You take 20% of their payout, you've got to end up giving them tax credits or those sorts of things to maintain their living standards. So, I mean, I'll be really surprised if we see any significant inroads in that area over the next few years.
Okay, so I started asking you, Michael, about a score, and it was 4 out of 10. And I've just been thinking all the time we've been talking, that's pretty low. That's not even a pass.
Oh, well, I don't think it deserves a pass. I mean, you know, the previous government ran up big deficits. Some of those were justifiable the early years of COVID. The last few years, they weren't. And there's no progress from that, even in a new government. It's pretty poor, really, because if you don't start making inroads in your first year in office, it just gets harder the longer you're there, the more the next election's approaching.
So they're playing it safe, national, predominantly. They're kind of trying to be safe here.
Yeah, electorally safe. I mean, I don't think they have any particular confidence in their ability to sell really dramatic adjustments. They saw a lot of positive feedback to the idea of tax cuts during the election
campaign.
You mean
in the focus groups, Michael? In the focus
groups? Well, indeed. Yeah, indeed. And it's focus group led rather than actual leadership.
So. They never want me in a focus group, I'm telling you now.
Me neither.
They couldn't rely on the data from that. Be all over the place. Is there anything that you need to tell us that, because like I say, I don't know much about this except for broad strokes. Is there anything we've missed, anything, any point that you really want to make before we wind up?
Probably the only other one is just those, looking at some of those forward forecasts, you know, the talk of being back to surplus in 2028. Even that relies on rather optimistic assumptions as to how much they are willing to restrain spending in the future. I mean, that's why I used the phrase earlier, vaporware. It's true of their way of selling these numbers. It was as true with Grant Robertson. They're two sides of the same coin broadly in terms
two of... Two cheeks of the same ass is what
Neil Robertson says. Yeah, you could say.
Same thing. All right. Well, thanks for coming on this morning, Michael, and explaining that. Really appreciate it.
Good. Pleasure.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.